In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On behalf of the family and the congregation, I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. As we come to thank God for Roy and to rejoice in the life that Christ has given to him and to us. Let me invite you to take the other songbook and turn to page 261. We'll sing together In the Garden. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy, God of all consolation. He comforts us in all our sorrows so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation that we ourselves have received from Almighty God.
Please take your red hymnal and open to page 283, where you'll find the Lord's Prayer. Oftentimes, whenever we'd get together as a family, when it came mealtime, Dad would have us gather around in a big circle and have us hold hands, and oftentimes he would lead us in the Lord's Prayer. So to honor his memory today, I'd like us all to read the Lord's Prayer together. We'll be reading the one on the right, the King James Version. That was his favorite. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hi, my name is Sydney. I am Grandpa Roy's great-granddaughter, and today I'm going to be saying Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hi, I'm Wesley, and I was Grandpa Roy's great-grandson, and I'm going to be reciting his favorite chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and my body to the hardships, I may boast. But I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesize in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part fades away. When I was a child, I thought like a child, talked like a child, reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I left my ways of childhood behind me. For we see only a reflection as in, then we shall see face to face. I now know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
This is going to be just a little long. Dad had a wonderful life. Roy was born on June 17th, 1939 in Pocatello, Idaho to Esther Funk and Albert Ruff. He was raised in the AF Aberdeen area where his father farmed. When Roy was 6 years old, Esther was the first open heart surgery patient at University of Utah Hospital. Sadly, it was unsuccessful, leaving Roy and Albert on their own. Roy spent the following years being raised by both Albert and his grandparents. Albert married Ernest Stuber on November 8, 1946, giving Roy a stepmom and a stepsister, Frida. Together, Albert and Erna had Randy and Eugene, blessing Roy with two more siblings. Roy attended AF schools through his sophomore year, where he was active in the band. He really enjoyed playing trumpet. Just before starting his junior year, AF implemented a new tuition fee that was charged out of district students, which his family was one under. So Roy transferred to Aberdeen for his junior and senior years, graduating from Aberdeen in 1957. Around this time, when Roy was 18, his father Albert died. At this time, he tried enlisting in military service, but during the physical, they found he had a fluttering valve, did not pass his physical. He then left to California, where he began attending school to be an electrician. Partway through his schooling, his brother-in-law, Jim Paul, who was married to Frida, called and asked him to come home and farm with him, as Jim had taken over Albert's farming operation. Roy moved back to the farm. During this time, Roy was introduced to Betty Walters, who was a senior at Aberdeen, graduated and left to attend college in Southern California. Roy decided he couldn't spend his life without her, so he showed up in California, asking her to come home and be his wife. Roy and Betty were married on March 31st, 1961. Together, they started out in a tiny, single-wide, pink-and-white trailer parked out on the original farm. Money was tight, Then they used a dresser drawer for a crib for their first son, Douglas. In April 1964, they were able to purchase their own home and 80 acres from Eleanor Mosier, a widow who had her place on Homestead Road about 3 miles away. There they welcomed their daughter, Pamela, and son, Russell. In the early years, Roy would farm season, and in the winter would deliver heating oil for Betty's parents, who owned the local Phillips 66 station in Aberdeen. It was during this era the conversion from dry land farming to irrigated farming was picking up. A few wells started going in the mid-50s, then 60s really took off. Busy putting in pumps, main lines, hand lines, if could afford them, wheel lines, lots of rock picking to get fields ready to raise a row crop in. Innovative machinery coming out, replacing hand labor and harvesting crop. Usually this machinery needed modifications. Roy would be busy until 2 a.m. in the morning, making changes and trying to get ready for another day. Row crops took a lot of work. Weak in genetics, very little for chemicals registered safe to spray. A sugar beet crop would take 3 to 4 cultivations plus a hoeing by hand crews, usually at least twice a year. It was better to pick rock or move pipe than hoeing. One was never done hoeing. Roy still has a sign in the farm shop that says, "Pray for a good harvest, but keep on hoeing." During these years, Roy left a lasting impression on Betty's younger brothers by patiently mentoring them on the farm. Back then, winters brought lots of snow, which combined with our winds left roads drifted over to the point those in the country could often get around only by snowmobile. In the late 60s, seeing a need to provide work for the employees during the winter months, Jim Paul started selling the Polaris brand, and Roy started selling the Articat brand of snowmobiles. These sleds were all manufactured in the Midwest, not set up for our elevation or mountains. Every sled required changing of gears and chain case, redoing the clutches and carbs, and usually changing out the track. With the amount of snow we received back then, Jim Paul would usually carve out a racetrack in the snow by his shop, where locals would come have a fun time racing each other. Roy would do an annual trip up to West Yellowstone to go through the park. Always ended up being a great day, even though we usually would have a sled or two hooked up. Roy and Jim farmed until 1990, when they decided to separate the farm as they each had sons of their own that also wanted to begin farming. They continued to help each other and shared equipment. It was then that Rough Times Farm began, and along with it, Roy's famous motto, "Smile," which could be found on his license plate and is still used on farm hats today. Smiling is something Roy always had in abundance, no matter what he was facing. During his farming, Roy always put in his time promoting sugar. He served for years on the local Association of Sugar Beets. Him and Betty would travel to Washington, D.C. in the winter to lobby for sugar and around the nation beet meetings. One of his proudest moments was serving on the main board of the company. During his time, the owner of the company decided to shut it down, which would have eliminated sugar beets growing in our area. A huge push was put together to put a co-op of farmers together to buy out the company. If ever have worked with farmers, most are very independent, and to be talked into borrowing money against their farms and then working with their fellow farmers across the state was a huge undertaking, along with talking the banks into lending the money. He was continually engaged in meeting after meeting, was thrilled when it finally came together, because we're still able to raise sugar beets today in our area. When Roy was in his 60s, the fluttering valve they diagnosed earlier in his life and was told not to worry about it changed into he needed to worry about it. Told needed an open heart surgery to change valve with choice of pig valve or artificial valve, each had pros and cons. He fretted about it, finally reluctantly decided on the pig valve. During day of surgery down in Utah, the family was in waiting room. When Doc came in, "Well, we got the heart out, looked at valve, trimmed off some excess growth, put ring and opening to make round again, opens and shuts good now, but back end looking good." We sat there like we just had our car repaired. When he too was thrilled to find that they had saved his original valve. At this time, Roy decided it was time to start getting away from farm so he could travel with Betty. They traveled the world together, going on several trips with the Wheelchair Foundation, where they personally delivered wheelchairs to those who had never left their homes due to a lack of mobility. These trips would also include to Africa and even China. They bought a motorhome with which they traveled coast to coast, including stops like the Calgary Stampede and Kentucky Derby. They even went to Alaska, which on this trip they had no cell coverage across Canada. Betty called when they entered Tok, Alaska. When asked how the trip was, she said, "Oh, it's about 2,500 miles, really pretty trip." Then passed phone over to Roy. When mentioned her trip was about 2,500 miles, was a big pause on phone. Then Roy said, "Well, you could say that. Or you could say it was 2,531.6 miles." Was a tough road, lots of frost eaves, ended up breaking front windshield out twice. They kept RVing. They started taking it to Arizona in the winter. Really enjoyed it. Eventually bought a park model in Mesa, where they spent their winters. They would play cards. It's where Roy refined his woodworking skills, which included crosses he made for the family. In the summer, Roy bought a 100-year commemorative Harley motorcycle, and Betty surprised everyone by riding it with him. Roy loved puttering and tinkering, and he could always be found fixing things. If Roy was coming to stay with you, you'd better have a list of things for him to fix, or he would fix them and find them himself. Roy loved cars, especially his Model Ts, with his 1915 brass Model T being his favorite. He loved driving them in the town parades filled with his grandkids and giving rides in them to those at the local assisted living home, along with his Tyson and Marcus. He also liked his Corvettes, even going back and picking one up at the factory. Roy was very active in St. John's Lutheran Church, where he was a member of the AF Sharps and helped head up the Secret Santa ministry every December with the help of his children and grandchildren. Roy's grandkids will always remember what an amazing grandpa he was, going RVing, crabbing, and salmon fishing at the Oregon coast, playing card games and doing puzzles, traveling to Kauai, going and patiently teaching them how to fix things, and of course, how to make and smoke authentic German sausage. Most importantly, Roy impressed upon all his grandchildren and great-grandchildren the importance of memorizing God's word and tucking it away in their hearts. He would have plaques in his office with the names on them when they had completed memorizing certain verses. This would come with a small monetary award. What mattered most to the kids, though, was to see their own name going up on the plaques when they would accomplish memorizing another verse. In 2019, Betty was called home to heaven. Thankfully, that was not the end for Roy. They had a dear family friend, Virginia Goal, who had lost her husband, Clarence. Roy and Virginia found solace and support in each other's company and soon fell in love. Their union was blessed by the Lutheran Church in 2021. Roy and Virginia traveled to Maui, Mexico, and continued going to Mesa, where they enjoyed time with their friends and Virginia's sisters. They spent much time with both of their families, enjoying each other's company and their time together. Eventually, they moved to Touchmark in Viridian, where Virginia selflessly and patiently cared for Roy while Parkinson's slowly took over. She was and is such a blessing to Roy and the entire family. Roy served God all his life, and now he is home.
We all have so many wonderful memories of Dad. I'm going to take a minute and just want to share some favorite memories from the grandkids with you. So from Cassie, there are so many memories, but what I hold the most dear is that whenever I stayed with Grandma and Grandpa during both high school and college, he would always move his nice clean truck out of the garage so my little Dodge Neon could be parked inside. He would always take it to get the oil changed or the tires rotated. He would have it washed and it always looked good as new. Even when he visited me in California, he would take my car and make sure it was running well. It may seem like a little thing, but it meant so much to me. It showed his servant's heart. From Marcus, remembers the Secret Santa, car shows, and learning the art of lawn care and home repair. So, from Tyson, There are too many to list, but a few of mine are our late night conversations where we would talk for hours about the history of American Falls and Aberdeen, family history, and farming back in the day. The other one is Grandpa Roy's smile. He wore it daily, and in fact had it on his license plate and on his truck for a lot of years, as many of you here probably remember as well. It was Grandpa Roy's kind of unofficial slogan that fit him perfectly. In fact, the roughnecks we have now have smile on back as a reminder of how Grandpa Roy would do it, with a smile on his face. From Amy, making light of sometimes hard situations and teaching me how to stop my seatbelt alarm with a paperclip. From Tanner, I liked camping, crabbing, and salmon fishing with Grandma and Grandpa on the Oregon coast. From Riley, playing hand and foot, helping out with a random task around the yard, and simply being with him in his office. From Anna, working on puzzles upstairs together, checking projects off of Grandma Betty's honey-do list, painting all of their fixtures from gold to black. He always knew exactly how to fix everything, and I learned a ton of practical skills from him. From Wyatt, my fondest memories with them were taking their RV along the Oregon coast, as well as all the trips to Kauai. Just a few from myself. Remember, Dad told me early when I was a teenager, son, it's better to work for yourself than to work for someone else. And I've shared that piece of advice countless times with people, but looking back, I wonder if he didn't tell me that, if he could just sense that I would make a terrible employee and you had better figure something else out. But as you know, Dad had a very calm, peaceful demeanor, and he also had this ability to teach important lessons without saying a word. I remember once when I was about 12, 13, Dad, we left the farmyard and we went out to a field to pick up a generator tractor, so we needed to spot it over in the yard. So he drops me off, I hop on the tractor, and I have it in full speed at no time, roaring down the main line, and I made record time back to the yard. And he stops and picks me up, didn't say a word. We drive back out to the same field we just were, which I thought, well, that's odd, we were just there. And goes down the main line, and wouldn't you know it, risers is flat as can be, and there's two tractor tire marks going right down each side of the center. In my haste, I hadn't noticed, I ran right over the top of one. Dad pulled up next to it, he always had a shovel in the back of his truck, took the shovel out, handed it to me, and left, without saying a word. That was the last riser I ever hit. But, another unspoken lesson he taught me that he didn't even know about is one time, again, when I was very young, I was down in the storage room in our deep basement and rummaging through a box of books. And I came across his diary. It turned out to be his diary. I had no idea what it was, but when he was a young man. And I remember reading a post in there that made such an impression on me, I've never forgotten it, but it went something like this. It said, Betty is such a nice girl. I'm going to ask her to go to the next Bible study with me. And that made such an impression on me because it told me right there that Dad had such a strong faith in the Lord from an early age. And it just taught me the right way to start a relationship. Lastly, when Mom passed about 6 years ago, 8 years of marriage, that hit Dad really hard. Really hard. I'd never seen my dad cry before, and he didn't cry, he wept. But God, in his endless grace and mercy, sent an angel into his life. Virginia, we will always be forever grateful to you and how the Lord put on your heart to make Dad your ministry, to take care of him and to love him to the very end.
Sydney and Wesley, Doug and Russ, we thank you for sharing who Roy was to you and to every one of us in a different way. couple more verses that were favorites for Roy and for the family. From John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, believe also in me. And from John 11, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then just one verse from Romans 8, and I'll mention more of them during my meditation. I heard Roy say these words many times. I am convinced that nothing in life can separate us from the love of God which we know in Jesus Christ. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for these moments. Moments when we can hear family members and good friends tell the stories of life that you shared with Roy. We thank you for the moments that we have in this place, this very special place to Roy and all of the family. A place where they learned, where they wept, where they rejoiced, where they ate, where they shared your love that they knew in a different way because Jesus is Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your word and with your life, and send us from this place to share that life wherever we might be. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. One of my favorite books is called Giants in the Earth. It's written by the man whose name is O.A. Rolog. It's a story about a family in the 1870s trying to make a living as farmers in the Dakota Territory. Hard work. They were people who were as resilient as could be. They knew how tough life could be. They faced every challenge that came to them. And in many ways, we can say what happened to them was that they succeeded and fought through the locusts, the blizzards, the poor crops, made a living and lived there. We've gathered this morning in memory of someone like that in a different way, who was always willing to work hard, who was always willing to make sacrifice, who faced the challenges head on, and who had as deep a faith in Christ as anyone can imagine. We remember that Roy was kind and a compassionate listener. We remember that he asked for advice and was willing to take advice from us and from so many people. We remember that Roy shared in many ways his faith in Jesus as Lord, his love for this congregation. What a kind, thoughtful, generous man he was to every one of us as we gather this morning. We're here to say thanks be to God for Roy. He was for us one of the giants of the earth. And yet, we all know that Roy was just as much of a human as every one of us confessed to be. One of my favorite memories of Roy is something that occurred during Amy's wedding. During the ceremony, Roy was going to share the 23rd Psalm. And when he came to that part of the ceremony, he started off, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he turned and looked at me, and I could hear him saying, I forgot. The next words, and I just kind of whispered as best I could, "He makes me lay down in green pastures," and then he carried on. And then it happened again during the 23rd Psalm for Roy. He looked at me, I whispered a few words, and he carried on and finished it. In the midst of what was as glorious a wedding as you can imagine, the wedding of his granddaughter, Roy stood tall and quietly reached out for help. I guess this is why I shall remember that incident, because as strong as we all know Roy was, and as gifted in so many ways, he knew how to ask for help as well as to give it. I was honored to be able to stand with him at that wedding and to help him. And then after the wedding, he came up to me and he said, "Why in the world did I forget? I'd said that psalm many, many times, backwards and forwards. Why would I forget at such a beautiful and important time?" And I'm guessing that you, like I, particularly in this last year, have asked very many important questions. Why can't things go the way that we had planned? Why is there suffering? Why is life sometimes so hard? What's ahead? Now that someone that we've looked up to and relied upon for so many years, where do we go from this point? How will life be different for us, and what will we do? Does anybody care for me like Roy cared for me? Will God take care of us? And how will God take care of us? Over the years, many times in person and many times over the phone, Roy, many minutes struggling with those questions and looking for some answers to them. This morning, we can remind ourselves that even the writers of the Bible struggled with those questions. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, one of Roy's favorites, we read how Paul struggled with those questions and thankfully even gave us his answers. In the New International Version of the Bible, Romans 8 is divided into three sections with subtitles: Love, Life Through the Spirit, Future Glory, and More Than Conquerors. The first subsection, Life Through the Spirit, ends with this reminder in verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. The next subsection, Future Glory, ends with these reminders in verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot explain. And then in the final section, More Than Conquerors, Paul begins with this verse. And we know that God works for the good of all those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then he ends that third section with these wonderful words. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the future or the present, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that we know personally, Jesus Christ. Roy, I know personally, knew these words, believed these words, and I can say along with all of you, he lived those words. And so I say as I conclude, Roy was a giant of a man for me, and nothing in all creation was ever able to separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Today, as we say goodbye to this dear man, we give thanks to God for all that he meant to us. And thankfully, in many ways, we can say that the family still means because of Roy. We also want to say a special thanks, as Russell did, to you, Virginia, and to everyone who cared for Roy in so many special ways, especially this last year. We will remember Roy for many things, And I hope most of all you'll remember him because of his faith in Jesus as Lord. And in that remembering, I hope that it makes us open our eyes a bit more, makes us open our hearts more, open our ears more, so that we listen again and again how it was that Roy taught us to go on living as he did. Amen. Let me invite you now to turn to the back of the bulletin and we'll sing together Sweet By and By. Turn to page 282 in the front of the Lutheran Book of Worship, the Red Book. Let us stand as we bear our faith as Christian people. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Again, please bow your heads and pray with me. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion. In the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the whole church in heaven and on earth, your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection that they may die to sin and rise to newness of life. and that through the grave and the gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant us grace to entrust Roy to your never-failing love, which sustained him in this life. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, and remember him according to the favor that you bear for your people. God of mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Lord God, you who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, we commend to you our good friend. We humbly pray that you receive him as a fold, a member of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the arms and the company of the saints in light. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought Jesus from the dead and calls us to new life every moment, bless you and keep you and hold you. In his name, amen.